The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world, my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh, drink my blood, have eternal life. I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me. And I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of new life. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to be back home with you. It may seem to you unusual to hear me say that I am, it doesn't seem strange to be in a hot church. I've done it now for the last 2 weeks while we were away, a little more last week than the week before. Want to tell you a little bit about where we've been and what we were doing. We decided this is the summer before our children's senior year in high school, and so we knew this what we did now is really going to matter. We wanted to go see some friends in Illinois, and we did some really good friends. Some good friends of theirs and some friends of Becky's and mine. We wanted to look at some schools. We'd looked at East Coast schools last year, Midwest this year, and of course Western schools all the time. So we just wanted to introduce them to a whole bunch of different places. And before you even ask, I can tell you, no, we don't know where they're going to school. And we probably won't know until the day they register, but we'll get there one of these days. By my estimate, I looked at the trip odometer on the car, which the trip odometer only goes up to 999.9 miles, so you don't really know how many times it's rolled over, but I am estimating that we put 4,420 miles on the car while we were gone, driving up through Colorado, Utah and Colorado, across Nebraska. Anyone here from Nebraska? Good. Oh, one? Okay. I'm sorry. That is one snooze of a state. Kansas, well, it's on up there now. It's not fun to drive through Kansas, I'm telling you. But we put a lot of miles on the car. We went and saw people who were important to us. Both in Iowa, family members of Becky's, and in Illinois. Church-wise, 2 weeks ago today, while David Rhodes was preaching to you, I was in Des Moines, Iowa with my family. We were at Park Avenue Christian Church where Becky grew up. It's a different style of worship, but one that I love. Becky's family was asking me, what's it like for you when you go to another church? Do you find yourself sitting there disapproving of everything? No. I learn stuff, and it was really fun. I learned some things there. I learn things there every time that I go. Then a week later, last week, we were at All Saints in Chicago, which is what I wanted to show you on the screen because I thought you would recognize aspects of it. The room you're sitting in right now, the arrangement of furniture is modeled after my field ed congregation from seminary, All Saints in Chicago, where Bonnie Perry is the rector and has been, as nearly as I can remember, she's been there now for 25 years, which is just remarkable. She's a wonderful woman, taught me a great deal about being a priest, things that had I not learned from her, I think my priesthood would be much different and much less fruitful than it is. But one of the very visible things is the arrangement of this room. If you go into All Saints Chicago, it's a building about 125 years old. It's on its second or third restoration right now. They have scaffolding up around the bell tower, and they're renovating the insides and the exterior. What they had was a very traditional wood church that was kind of long and narrow like this space, where up at the altar area, you'll remember that back behind that wall used to be the altar of St. Margaret's. Theirs goes on way back, and it's where the choir was and where the organ is and everything. They don't really use it anymore. They use their space like we're laid out right here. They took their wood pews that were all in straight lines facing that way, and they angled them in like this around an altar that they brought back from the far wall and put in the middle. And the arrangement of this room mirrors what's going on in there. It's funny to see the place because I remember, yeah, that is so Chicago. It is so Bonnie. Very traditional space, lovely worship. Huge sign up on the altar that says Black Lives Matter. And I love that. That is so Bonnie. And I loved being there. She was gracious and generous to me. She invited me when communion time came. She said, Lane, I need your help. Come help me serve communion. And she handed me the bread and pretended that she needed my help. And it was just such a privilege to serve there. One of the things that we did when we were on vacation, and if you saw any of the things I was posting on Facebook while we were gone, you might think that we ate our way through the Midwest. Because pretty much every photo that we had was a photo of us sitting with good friends in different configurations at different places. Now, with one exception, because Paul and Leslie took us to a fabulous Italian place in downtown Chicago that we'd never been, but most of the places we went were old, familiar places, places we'd been a million times before. Went back to my previous parish, Transfiguration in Palos Park, and across the street from that is an ice cream parlor and some of the best ice cream you ever had. We went there twice. But we would go from meeting to meeting with different people, sitting at different tables, eating comfort food, not sophisticated food, not elegant food, just food that you recognized, food that felt good when you took it in. And as you know from having a dinner like that, when you sit down at breakfast with really good friends, it's not even about the food. The food just conveys, kind of like we made the joke the whole time about, you know, using French fries as conveyance for the ketchup. The food is conveyance for the people. The food is the way that you take in good friends. It's the way that you become community. It's the way that you reestablish relationships, is that you eat together. And it doesn't have to be great food. And God knows that when we gather here for Eucharist, I've told you before, my friend Grant is fond of saying that these little wafers that we give you at communion, these things, the ingredients, are you ready for this? It's a complicated list. Flour, water. Those are the ingredients. They stamp out a piece of wet flour into a little pellet, and it dries out, and that's a communion wafer. My friend Grant says it takes more faith to believe that this is food than to believe that this is the body of Christ. But we ate with people, and as we did, we reestablished friendships and caught up and remembered old times and good times that we had together, and we became a new thing. It's nothing new. That's what you do when you eat with people you love. So that's what John's Gospel is about today. This is the, I believe, fourth week of 5 weeks spent on the sixth chapter of John. If you know John's Gospel, you know that it's kind of heady, it's kind of wordy, kind of like listening to a Lane Hensley sermon. But he's concerned about articulating to these people something that is not plainly visible in front of them, something big that God is doing. John's Gospel begins with this prologue you've heard before. We say it on the first Sunday after Christmas every year. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. You remember that from John's Gospel? Well, his whole Gospel is concerned with explaining what he means by that. So when he gets to the sixth chapter and he's talking about a story that starts with loaves and fishes and giving people this bread and there's plenty of it, he goes on to say, this is not just regular bread. Do you understand? This is, I am giving you myself. I'm giving you life. I'm giving you something that is going to establish relationships, not just among you, but between you and God. This is bread that will feed you at a level that will cause you to live forever when you eat this bread. Now, our first reading is from the first book of Kings. It continues the story after David, after all our many stories about David, with apologies to David and David and the other Davids that I'm probably overlooking. David is finally dead. And so his son Solomon comes along and asks God for one thing and one thing only that pleases God immensely, and that is discernment and understanding. Discernment and understanding. You'll remember that we did an exercise in discernment led by Rita Sari and others, a group that led us through discerning God's will for us. Why do we do that? Because it's what God loves. God loves to be explored and known. God loves to be in relationship with you and me. God loves more than anything else to be eaten by you and me, to be taken into us so that we, who are what we eat, become the body of Christ. So that we establish this level of intimacy and relationship to each other and back to God that only that food can bring. What we found when we were on the road was that our best meals, and I think our kids can attest to the idea that we ate some very empty meals too when we were in places like Nebraska. We would just stop. We would stop just because we were hungry, and we would go to some fast food place or something, and it, I remember towards the end of it, I remember Nell saying, anywhere but a hamburger place, please. Because empty food is just empty food. The best meals are where the people are. The meals, the food with the people in it. So every Sunday, God invites us to come together and share the food with the people in it. The food that has God in it. The food that makes us one body. It is such a privilege to be back with you, having had some rest on my own. Because being with you, it's funny, I had not really thought of it when we got back. We got back to the house, but I didn't really feel like I had got back home until I walked in at 7 and saw the people there. It's a privilege to be with you, share this meal, the food with the people in it. Amen.